And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road back in the house today. Michelle Knezovic as well here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, welcome back to Nashville. How's it going?
Thanks. Is that working?
I think we can... We're turning you back up. There you go.
Okay. Thanks. How you doing?
Sorry, Joe.
That's all right.
We're wonderful. How are you?
Fine. I'm sorry that yesterday I put cold water on Urban Meyer. This is what I get for ever listening to Kaharsky. I never will again. And other people in the press box, too, were like, oh, no, that's old. He has Ohio State stuff on. That's old. And then I see you guys, or Michelle sends a thing yesterday. I'm like, oh, that actually happened this weekend? My goodness. So I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That was misinformation by me on the show yesterday. Boy, Urban Meyer, man.
It's off to a great start down there, isn't it?
It makes for, you know, it's like I feel like for the Titans this week, it's dangerous still.
Oh, yeah.
It could be real bad, and it could be, you know, a bad Sunday and a bad start to an unbelievable stretch. But then again, the Jags have this going on.
Yeah.
What a beautiful AFC South just, you know, matchup of issues.
So Urban Meyer is 0-4 to begin the season, which I don't know that the 0-4 part of this is all that surprising. Although, I mean, they have played the Bengals and they've played the Houston Texans. So I kind of thought they'd beat Houston, but they didn't. They're 0-4, and now your head coach is caught up in this scandal where he's out in public with – people he's not supposed to be with out in public. It's the curse of the Jacksonville Jaguars continues right along. It's good stuff out there.
It's just a weird story. Like, I mean, I don't know. He's talking about he was with his grandkids having dinner, and then
they wanted to come take a picture, which that may have been. I mean, look, that may have been how that started. But you know, seeing the pictures and the videos, there was more than picture taking going on, whatever they were doing over there.
Right. So, like, he's dancing with her, but then he says that she was trying to entice him on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Right. And then he also...
I wonder if he knows there's a video out.
Well, right. There's various videos.
Yes, there is.
Also, like, he mentions Trevor Lawrence going to Vegas. Bachelor party in Vegas, which was months ago.
Yeah.
What? Huh?
Trevor's the adult on the team.
Yeah.
Trevor, coach and QB1.
Jeez.
Right. Like, what does that have to
do with
anything?
Well, so what he was trying to, and I heard part of that explanation was, you know, when Trevor told me he was going to Vegas for his bachelor party a few months ago, basically his general message was, oh, man, just be careful because there's people always out there wanting to catch you do something. And I guess he was trying to relate that back to his situation.
So he's trying to tell people how dumb he is.
I guess so.
By using that story. Yeah, it's, man, it's interesting. So does this, I mean, obviously everyone's having a field day with it now. It's been an incredible, just, you go back to hiring Chris Doyle and all this stuff and the fines and, you know, Tebow, whatever. Yeah. It's just been one thing after another. Does this have any effect on them this week as a team?
You know... I don't know. I mean, look, it's a huge distraction, obviously. And, you know, Urban did a press conference about it yesterday, and we'll hear more of that a little bit later in the show. But the players are going to be asked about it. I mean, Trevor Lawrence at some point is going to be asked about it. And look, I thought Dan Orlovsky on ESPN brought up a good point yesterday of, like, if you're a player in that locker room and Urban Meyer is your head coach and he has preached – you know, accountability and making sacrifices and making sure you're doing the right things out there in public and all these different things. And then you see this video come out of your head coach after a game where you lose and he hangs around and he's out doing whatever he was doing in this video. Like, how do you follow that guy if you're a player in the locker room? I mean, Orlovsky was like, straight up, I would not want to play for this guy anymore if I saw him doing something like this. So, look, I don't know. I don't know how players are going to respond to this in the Jacksonville locker room. As far as it affecting them on the field, I mean, they're not very good to begin with, so I don't know how much of a negative effect it's going to have, but it is certainly not something you want to be dealing with 4 games into your head coaching tenure if you're Urban Meyer.
See, I hear what Dan Orlovsky is saying there, okay? And yet, I think when Antonio Brown scores a touchdown for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're pretty happy to have him on their team.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
But
so,
isn't there a difference between
there is.
Head coach and
there
player?
Is, absolutely. But my point is, if Urban's coaching good, then
right.
they're fine. Like, he's got a good plan, okay? They called good plays. He's putting us in position to win. Then this is, okay, great, whatever. I mean, people don't go home on the team flight sometimes. This happens.
Right.
If he's coaching bad, well, then it's just one more thing to throw on the pile. Like, what's up with this guy, you know? So, I mean, I hear Dan, but if this was a good team, I think it would be just a totally different kind of view of it. And right now, everyone is waiting for Urban to totally fall all over himself and fail. And again, I mean, apparently he's just completely obliging. I still don't totally trust it, though. I don't totally trust that it's just going to be a complete disaster all the way.
I don't either,
and
but it's trending
it
that way.
And if it isn't a complete disaster all the way, man, people are going to be mad. I mean, look, we'll see. It's not impressive. This was stupid, but the guy can coach. He's been incredibly successful at the college level. Can he take it to the NFL? You know, right now it doesn't look good. It's like the dude from Return of the Jedi. Admiral Akbar.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
I think this could all be a big trap. We'll see. But again, like I think the reaction is one, because people don't like Urban, which is totally understandable. And also, it's just easy to pile on because they're so bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, Urban's a very polarizing figure.
Who's a good coach who people like in this league?
I'm trying to run through
I mean, let's like take Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
If this exact same thing happened with Sean McVay and he's like some goofy dancing on the dance floor with a random woman at the bar, it would still be a story and stuff.
Right.
But do you think the Rams people would be like, oh my God, I could never play for this guy again?
Probably not.
Yeah. So, but hey, that all goes together. I mean,
now he is married. There is that.
McVay's not?
I don't know if McVay's buried or not. I don't know.
Well, that's a huge part. No doubt. Yeah. I mean, if you're single, who cares?
Yeah.
No doubt. And that's another thing Urban says, I apologize to my family. They weren't happy. I'm like, gosh.
Probably not.
This falls under the category of dumb bleep to hurt the team.
Yeah, it does.
That's right. But, apparently there's some other video.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see the video either. I saw the picture.
I saw one, and I can't look at it and know for sure it's anything other than just some stupid interaction at a bar. Like, okay, a little dance. You know what I mean? Like, is Urban Meyer seriously think he can go into a bar and try to, like, actually hit on a woman and hook up with a woman? Like, what?
The alternate video. Yes. Yes, he is.
Really?
Yes.
All right. You got to show me this thing.
I don't know if you want to see it, but yeah.
Oh, I want to see it. Cause like, it still seems to me like just kind of silliness at the bar.
Yeah,
man. I don't know.
Heck of a start for the Jags.
No, if that's the case, then I don't know. Yeah. Fire Urban. I don't know.
Oh man. Hey, the Chargers got it done last night. The Raiders no longer undefeated. Chargers 3-1. Kansas City still in last place in the AFC West, by the way. Chargers are pretty good.
I did not
buy into the big Chargers hype that everybody else was preaching throughout the offseason. So far, I look very wrong. Chargers are very good.
Yeah, Herbert is good. The defense is good. They got a lot of good players. They've drafted really well. Eckler is super underrated in this league. And, they really handled it. The Raiders had a little – I mean, first of all, was that like a more pro-Raiders crowd than Chargers crowd last night? It seemed like
could have been.
Jason Fitz, I saw. He had the Raiders, the silver and the black face paint going.
It's good stuff.
Tough loss for Fitzy. But, it was pretty impressive. Unimpressive was that, Derek Carr can't just, complete a couple passes and give me my first fantasy football win of the year, but that's okay.
Joe Rexroad, 0-4.
0-4.
Actually, I mean, I can't really speak because I think I've won one. Actually, yeah. I have. So
Michelle's 1-3.
I'm 1-3.
And I think Brennan's like 2-2.
He's 2-2.
Yeah, that's a problem, man.
Yeah. Legault, is Legault 4-0?
Legault's 4-0.
Yeah, that's just.
I'm 3-1.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you. It's a real honor.
I might have a Detroit Lions-like season here.
So there are two divisions in the AFC that now have three 3-1 teams. AFC North, the Bengals, the Ravens, the Browns, all 3-1. AFC West, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Broncos, all 3-1. And the AFC West is crazy because I still think the best team in the division is probably the Chiefs, and they're 2-2.
Yeah.
I think we're about to find out. And I know Teddy Bridgewater just got hurt, so that's going to play a factor into it anyway, and we'll see when he can come back. I think we're about to find out that the Denver Broncos, not quite as good as people thought they might have been to begin the season with the schedule that they had.
That's the thing. So the two best divisions are the West. I mean, all the football, all the good football's out in the West this year. But the NFC West is still absolutely better because that's four legit teams. Yeah, there's three. I'll call the Raiders legit. I still think that they're like going to be in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But I think it's a Chargers-Chiefs division, and yet the Broncos are Jets, Giants, Jags. If I mean, find me like a better three-game start, you know, in the last 20 years for a team. I bet you there's like a couple that are that could match that one. They are a total paper Bronco.
Nice.
Yeah, but the Chargers, yeah, like a week ago, I was like, "Oh, that Rams hype is legit." After they trounced the Bucks, maybe the Chargers hype is even more legit. Because I was a little more skeptical about that stuff. But he's good, man.
He is.
He's good.
And then there's the AFC East. Congratulations to the Buffalo Bills for already wrapping up the AFC East.
I roll.
Yeah, golly.
Hey, my Steelers still beat them.
That's true. They're 3-1. The Dolphins 1-3. Patriots 1-3. Jets 1-3. The Bills point differential is +90. They're +90 4 weeks in.
So what are they? The last 3 weeks.
Well,
it's about
they
so
just won 40 to nothing.
Whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, playing the Texans. You know, that's the thing. Help. The Titans still get two of those. You know, playing the Texans is going to be very good for you as a team.
What did Davis Mills end up with passing-wise on Sunday? I need to go find it. Because at halftime, I think he had 3 yards. 3 yards passing
right?
At halftime. Yeah, he had 3 yards at halftime.
My gosh. I mean,
he ended up with 87. 11 of 21, 87 yards and 4 picks.
Holy cow. That, you know, Zach Wilson was having games not all that different from that.
Yeah.
And then he played the Titans.
There's that.
So when is do we know when Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be back?
I don't.
I mean, that's he makes them at least a team that's worth putting on the uniform on Sunday. Yeah. Like, you know, the TV contract will allow for them to be broadcast with him at quarterback.
Yes. Shout out to Davis Mills. It's going really well.
Jeez. I mean, rookie quarterbacks already probably not going to go well.
Yeah.
Although, maybe for Mac Jones it will go okay.
He looked pretty good the other night.
Maybe that was a one-night magical thing with all the stuff around that game. But he actually looks like he's got a pretty good grasp. But for the most part, it's not going to go well.
So I took a screenshot of the Davis Mills. He was 1 of 7 at halftime for 3 yards. He had been sacked 3 times. So as a team passing the football in the first half, Houston was 1 of 7 for -23 yards and 2 picks.
My goodness. That is. I mean, the Bills are good on D.
Yeah.
They're good.
They're not that good.
My gosh. But, hey, they're also not the Lions. Are the Lions the last 0-4? Look at that. I didn't realize that. The Lions stand alone. 0-4.
Jags.
Oh, no.
0-4.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my bad. Oh, we started this thing talking about Urban. And
Urban.
I tried to give Urban a dub. He tried to get a dub, like, apparently, last weekend.
He did. Off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll be back. We'll talk about the Titans and get into this wide receiver room a little bit. Have we overrated this wide receiving core with the Titans? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Support Stars on Saturday, October 16th by running, walking, or boogieing the Nashville Striders' 21st annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, or show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, we've now had over a day to digest the ugliness that we saw with the Titans, and there was a lot of ugly in that game against the Jets. We've talked a lot about the line of scrimmage offensively and the offensive line in pass protection. It was horrible, and it's going to have to get a lot better. I do wonder, though, and we had a little bit of this conversation yesterday, how much did the receivers play a part in this and their ability to not get open? And, of course, no A.J. Brown, no Julio Jones. You had Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. You had Josh Reynolds. You had Chester Rogers. And not much else past that. Cam Batson, of course, with a touchdown in the game as well. So my question to you, Joe Rexroad, is if they can't get open against the Jets, who, by the way, were without their best defensive back in this game. So it's not like they were going up against this vaunted secondary out there that the New York Jets possess. If the Titans wide receivers couldn't get open against this group, have maybe we overrated the depth that they have at wide receiver with Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Cam Batson if they struggled to get open against this team?
I mean, I think that's a fair question to ask. You know, Marcus Johnson is another guy. Josh Reynolds was, I mean, I think Josh Reynolds was the most effective guy.
Yep.
Again, Josh Reynolds was signed. When he was signed, he was wide receiver two, you know, with the idea that they needed to draft someone else to be a 2-3 with him, and then, you know, the other guys would be, you know, Westbrook-Ikhina, whoever. But, you know, Marcus Johnson, you know, it still didn't look like an imposing group. I think that the preseason probably made it a little bit, you know, made it seem maybe a little bit better than it was because those guys were playing well. Again, we haven't seen Marcus Johnson this year, and I think he does move up pretty high in the pecking order if he comes back, which he may come back this week. But it's also, you know, I mean, Vrabel went through everything yesterday, like going around, like all the different things that go into, you know, passing the ball. There were some times, too, it had to have been more that, like, Tannehill couldn't take a step and look.
Yep.
And not just those guys not getting open. Now, I think, you know, sometimes it was them. I mean, I'm going to sound like Vrabel. You know, sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. You know, we all got to do better. But yeah, you know, I guess I didn't expect, like, those guys to go in there and just completely tear up the Jets. I figured that, you know, that you would be able to make some plays. Tannehill did throw for, what did he throw for, 298?
Yep.
Now, a lot of that's to make nickels. I think the big issue right now is tight end. They're not really getting anything. The best tight end production they're getting in the passing game is from Mykole Pruitt. And I think it's, you know, it's Firkser. Look, we all knew it was a little bit of hype early in camp, but I will say he looked extremely explosive and effective in camp, and then coming off how he has built up his built up his career here, I thought he was absolutely due for a big year. The knee probably is an issue.
Yeah,
I mean, he hasn't been able to play, and he played last week, and it's hard to look at him now and think that there's nothing there, that the physical issue isn't a part of it. But that's something that's got to, like, get better. I mean, other than, you know, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, obviously. You have them, and that's who you're throwing to, and you could be really good. You don't have them, yeah. You got guys who you'd rather be your 4 and 5 that you're playing as your 1 and 2. But Firkser has got to become a bigger factor. He could have the winning touchdown to his name right now, and they could be 3 and 1.
Yeah, he's got to become a bigger factor, and, you know, we'll see whether or not the Titans are going to have A.J. and Julio for this game against Jacksonville. Vrabel saying yesterday, sure, there's a chance. There's always a chance. So
he actually did volunteer that Darrington Evans.
Right.
You know, yeah. You ask him specifically about someone, and it's, hey, maybe, who knows. Injury report will come out. You guys can read it. But he actually volunteered that Darrington Evans, they hope to have him out there, which is interesting.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I mean, look, Darrington Evans is better than Jeremy McNichols. He's more talented. But, boy, McNichols has been, for the most part, pretty effective, pretty useful in this offense.
Yeah, he has, and we'll see what happens in terms of availability on Sunday. I would still, I guess, I will still be surprised if both A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are playing on Sunday. Just with hamstrings, you never know. And maybe one of them can go. I'd be surprised if both of them are back out there.
I think I'd be surprised if it's both or neither. I just have a feeling it's going to be one of them.
Going to be one of them?
Which one? I don't know. And I'm just guessing right now. But based on, really, I mean, based on the loss.
Yeah.
I think maybe from Vrabel's perspective, but maybe even just from certain players' perspectives. You know, can't lose this one. So I could see like an A.J. Brown trying to fight through it. The question is that the smart thing? Can the Titans still, you know, can the Titans go in and beat the Jaguars with this basic lineup they lost to the Jets with? I think they can, but.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to hope so, great. But, you know, after last week, like Zach Wilson doing what he did last week, you're trying to tell me you don't think Trevor Lawrence can do that too? I mean, I think he absolutely could. So
he's got, I mean, and frankly, all due respect to Corey Davis, he's got better receivers.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this idea that you're just going to be able to show up and beat Jacksonville, I think if that's the way you were thinking before, that certainly has changed now if you're the Titans.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think they talked things up. I don't think it was one of those things where they were just like, eh, this is going to be fine.
Right.
I mean, they came out and were doing exactly what they should have been doing to the Jets. It's just that they didn't finish it. They didn't execute. You know, you didn't have – I mean, it really comes down to – there was some questions for Vrabel about energy and, like, passion and stuff, which all – that's all important. But it really comes down to, in this league, in those key moments, actually being precise and focused and making those plays. And they didn't. And then they end up paying for it.
Well, and what you're not going to have to worry about this week as much, although with this offensive line right now, I'm not sure you're comfortable with them blocking anyone. But you're not going up against the front with Jacksonville's defense that the Jets had. I mean, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still, by no means am I marking off the offensive line from my list of concerns heading into this week. It's a pretty big concern.
Yeah.
Probably the number one concern with this group.
Right, and now, it's the question is kind of like, how much better can they get? Like, I can't believe that this is what Nate Davis is going to be. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. But some of the older guys, is this what they are? How much better are they going to be? Remember, I mean, this is going to be, and I've already heard it be revised so inaccurately. Like, this exact group was outstanding at pass protection last year. They had 25 sacks the entire year. That includes a lot without Luan. But when they had Luan, it wasn't just that Derrick Henry gave you play action, you know, where you freeze the deal. I mean, in obvious passing situations, Ryan Tannehill had clean pockets. All the same guys other than Dennis Kelly. So can they get back to that? I mean, again, it's a broken record, and I'm sure everybody's sick of it, including the building, but are people going to get healthy or not? I don't know.
Well, right now they're on pace to give up 72 sacks. I mean, that's an absurd number.
Yeah. Tannehill won't be there for all of them, if that's what they keep doing.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. Get to more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've also got some tickets to give away on the other side as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his Monday press conference, saying no one, coaches, players, anyone, did well enough in this game against the Jets. You think Derrick Henry's looking around like, well, you know, I did have 157 yards.
Yeah. Are you sure, Mike? You sure? I didn't do well enough? You know, just a cool little 35 touches, 177 total yards.
I guess I could have had 200.
Yeah.
There's always more plays to be made.
Well, they needed Derrick to, you know, to take that one run in overtime all the way to save them again, but he didn't. So, boo, Derrick.
We've got some tickets to give away to see the Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, October the 9th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and the Hurricanes coming up this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. Speaking of Derrick Henry, we had a texter point this out yesterday on the text line. He's still playing really well, on pace for 2,000 yards this year. And I guess the question I have is, I don't really question whether or not Derrick Henry is going to be productive throughout the rest of the season, because he's going to be if he remains healthy. My question is, based on the way the offensive line has played thus far, is it going to be enough? Like, is a productive Derrick Henry going to be enough with this group if the offensive line does not get significantly better in pass blocking? And you mentioned it, and it's tough to not look ahead to it. The four-game stretch that this team has coming up with the Bills, the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Colts. And again, we're not looking past Jacksonville, because I think everybody learned that lesson last week. But it is difficult to move away from when you see that schedule coming up and the teams that are going to be on it. If you can't get these issues offensively figured out in a hurry, which is supposed to be the strength of your team, it's really hard to see how you're going to match up against those three teams specifically in the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Rams, and how well they've either played this year or how well we know that they're capable of playing in Kansas City's case.
Well, I mean, if you want to look at those games, that's another possible problem with losing to the Jets, just like we were talking about. Okay, so, you know, A.J. Brown, do you feel like, oh, man, I can't miss this week now? You know, we just lost to the Jets. So now does someone get put in jeopardy of missing more time because they come back too fast this week because this becomes like this urgent game? I mean, it's because the thing is they are not going to do well in those games if they are missing both of those guys. They will not do well. I mean,
well, they won't. But also, like, can you imagine right now with the way the offensive line has protected trying to block Aaron Donald when you go to the Rams?
Yeah. Yeah, that one in particular.
Yeah. On Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that would be something. That wouldn't go. It may not go well regardless of what happens. Right. I mean, those guys can get healthy and start playing better, and Aaron Donald could still just wreck the game.
Sure.
Yeah, some of those other teams, you know, that's what's interesting too, is like I thought we saw pretty good progress from the offensive line. You know, really, for late in the Seattle game and then a lot of the Indy game.
Yep.
And then, maybe we're just missing the thing here. The Jets are just
unblockable.
Yeah, you know, the Mean Green, New York Sack Exchange, for anybody who remembers Mark Gastineau.
Yes.
Let's go
to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from Clarksville texting in. We need to add two words to the name Titans. Quote, wasn't enough. We made some tackles, but it wasn't enough. Completed some passes, but it wasn't enough. Scored some points, but it wasn't enough. The team showed up, but wasn't enough. Steve proposing a name change for the Titans, adding some names to it.
Okay. Hashtag wasn't enough. Very, very well said, Steve. Yeah, they I mean, it's the thing is, like, I mean, we were looking ahead to the Jags a little bit last week, even though certainly, I mean, we said we were talking all week about how this felt like Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
But still, you're looking ahead to the Jags just because it looked like a little bit more dangerous game. It's a division game and all that stuff. And, you know, now it's a absolute – I mean, this could be a crossroads game, and yet we're already talking about the ridiculous stretch ahead. But it's so ridiculous.
I know.
Because if you go the wrong way Sunday, then it could be like quicksand.
By the way, we were talking about wide receivers last segment. Did you see who had two touchdowns on Sunday? The only two touchdowns the Detroit Lions scored.
Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, two touchdowns.
Look at that guy, huh? That's great.
Goes elsewhere and I think is legitimately their number one receiver.
Which is, first of all, again, great guy. Great for him. It really is a great story. Yeah. Also, he shouldn't be a team's number one receiver in the NFL.
They are number four, or 0-4.
Yeah, that's amazing. Not good for you, Khalif Raymond.
Yeah. Hey.
Look at all these Titans receivers going elsewhere and just lighting it up.
Yeah, it's like Titans kickers, which, hey, that's another thing to keep your eye on this week. Like, is Randy Bullock, does the one miss at the end of it? Now, he hooked it. It was not close, so it was a bad kick. Is that enough if you're the Titans to say, "Yeah, I don't know about this guy"?
Well, I assume, and I could be wrong, but even before whatever he did this last weekend, that whenever Ficken is healthy, that he's getting his job back. I could be wrong. I would say that maybe Bullock is so good, and it's like, how are you changing this?
Right.
Well, that one probably helps to say, yeah, let's go back to plan A, which was whenever Ficken's ready, it's his job again. That'd be my guess. Now, when is Ficken ready? I don't know.
Yeah. Darrington Evans returning to practice this week, potentially. It'd be great if they could get him on the field at some point. Now, and we had somebody ask us this on the text line yesterday, and we couldn't get to it. When Evans is back, is he going to take snaps away from McNichols, given the way McNichols just played Sunday?
I mean, it's one or the other. Like, I don't even know why both of them would be active on game day. You can't really do that. You have to have guys at every position in depth. So I believe that when he is healthy and full go, yes. Now, is there enough trust in him and pass protection when he's asked to stay in? I don't know. But,
well, they need their backs to pass protect this year for sure.
Yeah, they do. They need everybody, all hands on deck on the pass pro. But, yeah, I would guess yes, which, again, is – I will say, look, McNichols is like Dane Cruikshank. Like, I didn't think he was going to make the team, and now he's a key part of the team. And
yeah,
you got to tip your cap, although he dropped the one pass, which didn't end up costing them because they ended up scoring on the Batson play. But that may have been a touchdown. Actually, am I wrong about that? Or was that the drive before when they ended up? Actually, that may have been the drive before.
I think it was the drive before.
So yeah, it was the drive before when, of course, then they get the stop, and then they have the drive. So that was a big misplay, but I mean, the guy's been pretty good. He's been productive.
Well, he's been everything you could have hoped that Jerry McNichols was going to be.
Right.
And more. So I guess the question is, I think we would both agree, even though we've not had much of a sample size to see it at the NFL level, that Evans has a bigger upside than McNichols does. It's probably not close in that area, but how quickly can he get back there? And then, you know, can you stay healthy? Like, whenever Evans comes back, if that's this week, next week, whenever, like, he's got to stay healthy the rest of the year. Because if you end up having this problem with him again, and he's hurt again at some point this year, if you're John Robinson, I don't know how at that point you can't look back and say, all right, we love the talent this guy brings to the table. Is he ever going to be able to stay healthy so we can see it on the field? Because so far the answer's been no.
John Robinson does like hurt players.
Well, he does.
So keep that in mind. It's early.
You got an all-injury team.
That's the thing. Some of these guys didn't have – they actually have drafted some guys and picked up some guys who don't have massive injury histories. I think Darrington Evans was one of them. But look at Christian Fulton this year, even though he looked human finally last week. But, I mean, he missed a lot of last year, and he's been – really good. If they could get their second and third from last year to actually make a difference this year, that would do something. I do believe that Darrington Evans could do some things in this offense to give it another dimension and to create some explosive plays.
Nate texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Does it really matter how the offensive line is if the two best receivers in AJ and Julio are always out?
Yes.
The box gets stacked, stops Henry, the team is more predictable, and Henry won't be enough by himself to win every game.
Henry just went 33 for 157.
Yeah.
And actually, interesting numbers on that. I thought this as I'm watching, I'm like, this is some of the best defensive back tackling of Derrick Henry I've seen. So he averaged, he had 80 yards after contact Sunday, which is like, oh, that sounds great. But actually, that's a low number for him.
Yeah.
So as Vrabel kind of confirmed this yesterday as presser, this was actually one of their better, like, run blocking games.
Yeah.
So he actually had, he had better, basically you could say he had better lanes to run in and had less after contact than normal, only about 2.6 yards after contact per carry, which again, that's low for him, which actually tells you that they had a good day blocking the run for the run. So to answer the question, absolutely, you block people. I mean, these receivers, I think it's a very fair question you brought up. Like, it's kind of like, wow, they have so much depth at receiver, and then it's like, yeah, they're
didn't go well.
What they are, they're back of the room receivers, but you can have success with Derrick Henry in a line that blocks well in those receivers against a lot of teams. And if you block that poorly, just lose one-on-ones like that and passing downs? No, I mean, that, I don't care what the receivers are. Like, some of those plays, it could have been Jerry Rice in 1991, and it doesn't matter because Tannehill's on his back.
Speaking of Ryan Tannehill, he's received some criticism so far for the way he's played through four games. Is that criticism fair or not? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference discussing the passing game and the protection issues that the Titans have had in the passing game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. So, Joe, here we sit. Four games into the season, the Titans are 2-2, and Ryan Tannehill, as we know, has been under siege. We talked about it earlier. The Titans are on pace to give up 72 sacks right now. So obviously he's been running for his life so far through four games, and you know there's been at least one instance in every game where he's just been totally annihilated in the pocket to the point where he gets hit that hard and you think, all right, is Ryan Tannehill going to get up on this play? And of course he has, and we all know the toughness that Ryan Tannehill has. You look at his numbers, 63% completion percentage, 1,054 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions through 4 games. So the touchdowns through the air really have not been there to this point. I mean, 5 touchdowns in 4 games. If you would have told me that that would be the case through 4 games, I'd have been surprised that the touchdown number was that low. Overall, factoring in the protection, everything that we just discussed, the injuries to some top targets, what do we make of the way that Ryan Tannehill has played thus far through four games this season?
I think it's one of those things where, you know, like quarterbacks who sometimes are surrounded by a ton of talent, you know, it's like, well, but was he really that great? And then you flip it around too. Like for people who, you know, wanted to compare like Peyton Manning to Tom Brady, I mean, I think it's fair to say, well, Tom Brady didn't have you know, Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Edgerrin James. I mean, that has to be a factor, right, in the evaluating quarterbacks, like what is around it. But ultimately, it ends up going to them. So I personally think that Ryan Tannehill's played really well under the circumstances. I think the circumstances have affected him at times. Is that making an excuse for him? Yeah, maybe. I mean, I agree. Like the pick he threw against Indy was just a don't throw that pass.
Yep.
And maybe I think a couple times he's just trying to hang in there and make a play, which I appreciate a quarterback who isn't afraid to stand in the middle of a completely collapsing structure and still try to make a play. But the smart play a couple of those times is, you know what, just sail that thing. It's over. And go to the next play. So, I think the circumstances have affected him some, but honestly, I think he's played really well. And, I mean, he brings them back at Seattle. And as much as that was a Derrick Henry game, it was also a Tannehill game. And other than that pass against Indy, I thought he was good in that game against a tough D with, again, all of a sudden, both those receivers are on the sideline. And then last week, he throws what should be the winning touchdown pass to Anthony Firkser. And then it'd be it would if that one pass is caught, I don't think we're asking this question right now.
Yep.
But it's also the reality of the quarterback position. I mean, any little mistake you make is magnified. And the bottom line is the bottom line. Did you win? What are your numbers?
Yeah, and it's always interesting, too, when you have protection issues, that's going to affect your quarterback play. I mean, it's going to affect what you do, whether that's consciously or subconsciously. You know that you've got a clock. And look, to a certain degree, you've got a clock on every play anyway, but the clock is sped up this year for Ryan Tannehill. I don't think there's any question about that through the first few games. So, look, I mean, I think Tannehill's been good so far, especially given the circumstances. You know, you brought out the Seattle game. We talked so much about Derrick Henry in that game, and deservedly so, because Derrick Henry was awesome. Ryan Tannehill was pretty great in that game. So I thought that game on the road, Tannehill was exactly what we've seen Tannehill be the last couple of years. I thought outside of the one pick in the Indy game, which was bad, I thought he was really good in that game and made some big plays both through the air and with his feet as well to win that game for the Titans. So I still think he's largely been very good. The protection issues have got to get better, or he's just not going to have a chance as the season goes on here. But, like you said, the Titans are 2-2, and you've got two of your best players, your best weapons that have been unavailable for large portions of this year. I think we're starting to see that Tannehill is not going to be able to do this thing all by himself through the passing game. I mean, he needs some playmakers out there, and I think you brought up a great point earlier that's going to have to get better that we knew could be a problem heading into this season, and that is tight end. You know, tight end, they've got to be able to give you some things through the passing game. And look, I think Michael Pruitt has done a pretty good job for the most part in the role that he's been in, but Michael Pruitt is not going to be this gigantic difference maker in the passing game. I don't know that Anthony Firkser is going to be a gigantic difference maker in the passing game. Maybe he is. I think he's certainly better equipped than anybody else they've got at that position on the roster. But I think we're seeing right now, I think it's fair to question, did the Titans prioritize tight end? Because right now, they're just not getting much from the passing end of the tight end position.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good to have a young, talented tight end right now that you drafted on the roster to try to develop and help now and also be there later, because it's another one of those positions that, you know, they're just, I mean, it's going to have to be addressed, obviously, in the next offseason now. But I think a lot of it comes down to Firkser.
Yeah.
It comes down to Firkser getting healthier, getting faster, getting whatever that he's missing right now and being a bigger part of the offense. Obviously, they de-emphasize that position, I guess you could say, and they loaded up on the outside.
Which, again, that could be the way to go if everybody could stay healthy. I mean, it could be fine. But
could be.
Gotta have health. I mean, that's part of it.
It could be fine. After a loss to the Jets, nothing is fine. So
that is correct. JD on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Unpopular opinion, I know, but as I tried to convince Stillman yesterday, I think individually Tannehill and Henry had a good game Sunday. Tannehill threw for 300 and a touchdown with third-string receivers in there. Yes, I agree he made some questionable decisions, but overall he did well considering the offensive line is deteriorating right in front of him and the coordinator cannot change up his scheme to keep him upright. Pair that with the defense not being able to get off the field and looking lethargic and slow. I just don't understand what more people expect until we get those glaring issues fixed. If Tannehill would have thrown for 180 at a pick, I would be way more critical of him on here.
Yeah, like, it's Henry. Henry is the best player on the team, and obviously he's just doing amazing things.
Weekly.
But, like, that, right after him, it's Tannehill, or why you'd be optimistic about this team, you know? I don't look at Tannehill and think, man, he's really regressing from last year. I look at him and saying he's in a very different situation. And some people will say, well, whatever, you're the quarterback. But, I mean, come on. I mean, again, I'll put Tannehill on the Lions right now, and he'll suck, okay? I promise you. he won't suck, but, I mean, it won't go well. He won't win, and he probably won't have good numbers a lot of weeks. His number one receiver is Cleve Raymond. He has completed some big passes to Cleve Raymond.
He has.
I think he's played well. The bottom line is what the results are is ultimately how you're judged. But if things do improve around him, I think you're going to see him have a lot of games like he had the last couple of years.
Starting with blocking, got to be able to give him some time.
It does.
If that doesn't improve, I don't know what sort of a chance this team has.
Well, it's going to be a terrible year.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, and then it's going to go back on. Well, they tried to address the offensive line, and they have not addressed it well.
They have not. 102.5 The Game has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media. Tag The Game and use hashtag TicketDash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop local, shop social, if I could get those words out. Shop local, shop social. That wasn't that hard.
You got it.
I got it at the end. It's good stuff. When we come back, we'll be joined by Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. We'll get into a big Tennessee win against Missouri over the weekend. What does this mean for this Vols offense as they move forward here? All that more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.